And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Good morning. Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona. Hello. All right, let me tell you what's going on. Hopefully, we're going to have Cody Wilson on. We had something else scheduled for today. We're going to do 3 hours with someone that read the entire Obamacare, and they were excited about coming on, and they got the flu. It's Rosalina, you know, whatever. She's got the flu, so we're going to go ahead, and we had it opened up. So what we did, we called around. Some friends are going to fill up the show with you, some good guests. In the third hour, we have Mr. Butler Schaefer, constitutional law professor at Southwestern University. And he writes for Lou Rockwell a lot of books, a good friend. He was the law professor of my Freedom Summit partner, Mark Victor. And so I got a big, giant dose of Butler from forever, yeah, 20 years. And he's always interesting to talk to, in perspective on an historical perspective on all the stuff that's going on, because what has happened before keeps happening. At least it's rhyming. So what we're going to go ahead and do is we're going to, you know, kind of get a view of the day from him. I did want to talk about the history of revolutions. I talked to him last night, and I said, you know, with all the stuff that's going on now, and a lot of these young guys starting to get, you know, all revolutionary and everything. I mean, does this seem familiar? Is this rhyming with something? Yep, we're going to talk about it. Cody Wilson of DefCAD and Defense Distributed, we had him scheduled for next week. Talked to him yesterday. Donna hooked up with him, and he goes, yeah, you can come on today and go ahead and get it. Because we were filled up, and I couldn't get to him till next week. But I wanted to talk to him because the Pentagon said, you are not allowed, wouldn't be prudent at this juncture for you to have all these files out. So what we're going to go ahead and do is I'm going to go ahead and try and talk to him about, you know, I'm really concerned that there is a targeting of bits and bytes and ones and zeros, and I don't see this ending well, because, I mean, what are they going to say? You know, government bad? I mean, how many times I got to go through that? So I really have had the ability to express myself with these guys and just give them some history and perspective. I've been talking to Cody for, God, since the fall. And it was, I see the importance is not so much the gun part. The gun thing's sexy. It makes it, you know, a big deal. Everybody understands what's going on. And it kind of demonstrates the limited power of the state. You know, individuals communicating with each other has always been the downfall of the man. And there's the liberator. Now, I called it the liberator, and I immediately understood what it meant. And especially when he had these old World War II bomber planes kind of dropping parachutes, you know, in the video that announced it. The Liberator was a gun that was mass-produced by the hundreds of thousands during World War II. What it did is it was supposed to be dropped behind enemy lines. It's a single-shot little, you know, piece of crap gun that was stamped out and made by the gazillions. And they were dropped behind enemy lines and occupied France and so on. And it was the ability of an individual to take this one gun, and I think it was a 45 or something like that, and you bang, and you upgrade it. That was the whole point. And it was more a psychological weapon against the Nazis for them to just to be in their head just wondering what's going on. You know, who might have or not. It was had probably more effect that way than militarily, but it was very, very, very effective in naming this first 3D printed, you can do it yourself gun, the Liberator. Anybody that studies even a little bit of history can understand what it means. It's, you know, the start of liberation. I mean, you know, this is how you're going to be able to, you know, get away from, I don't know, control, you know, the farm, being livestock. So that concept wasn't lost on me. Now, we wanted to promote and give him an opportunity to express himself. But he chose to go ahead and do the licensing. And he's a BATF licensed gun manufacturing doing kind of an individual. We went through this before in the 90s, and it was called the Phil Zimmerman case. What happened was there was a gentleman. Oh, I should probably study up on this more, but I'll give you the gist of it. He was an IT guy, computer science guy. I think he was a professor. And he saw what was coming. He could see that, you know, the Clinton administration and whoever else administration, Bush, they, them, those, that they were cracking down on ones and zeros. They're going to try and set up an infrastructure using the Department of Defense internet, and they were going to know everything about everybody, and they're going to surveil everything, read everything. The king, for the first time, was going to be able to get into his subjects' heads. Think about it. Before the mid-90s, when people started getting email accounts, and heck, it wasn't until 2002, 2004 that, you know, people really started to express themselves, you know, ubiquitously. I mean, you know, just everybody doing it. And then you got Facebook, okay, MySpace, on and on and on. CIA sitting there, the king, they, them, those, whatever, NSA, doesn't matter, foreign government, China, everybody. They're just sitting there going, boah, ha, 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 ha. Thank you for putting in your picture, all the picture, your friend's picture, your family, your dog, this, that. I bet they can get everybody's password just from getting into their lives and knowing there's an algorithm that goes, bing, here are the top 10 most likely passwords. So I could see in 94, we realized, young activists, where this was going. At the time, there was a case going on of this guy, Phil Zimmerman, that could see it too. And he went to, I think it was San Francisco, and one of the old, you know, modems. You know, a payphone, just put it into a modem thing. You put the phone in. You guys probably don't even know what I'm talking about. But you take and you put the phone receiver in, and those fax tone, handshake, kind of, that was the communication. That's how we used to be able to upload emails and everything to somebody's server that had a modem that everybody called the same number, and you uploaded and downloaded all your email. And that really was the internet. It was a BBS system. It wasn't even on the internet. We were just getting going. Then they started, they said, no, 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 they don't want it to go that way. And they had the internet service providers, and you kind of went through these hubs and then onto the internet, as opposed to just using phone lines and doing a BBS, which will pop back up, I guarantee. In one form or another, and that's a whole other issue. Zimmerman gave the ability to send and receive emails encrypted at a very high encryption for the time. And Janet Reno, the Attorney General under Clinton, freaked out. I mean, it was just, you know, same old stuff that's going on now about the gun and everything was then. They charged Phil Zimmerman with a munitions violation, like he was shipping howitzer guns or something to Iran or whatever, by having this encryption out for anybody to use. That is the same law that they're using against Cody Wilson. First Amendment, Second Amendment, But the Second Amendment really is just information. First Amendment. You see my point? Ones and zeros.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. We're getting everything ready. Hopefully we'll get Cody for the second hour. I'm going to go ahead and go on to some other stuff I wanted to talk about in the second hour. Leaving his wake up. You know, the thing is he and I had a long conversation. When was it? Like Thursday, Friday. I tell you what it was. It was the day before the Pentagon said he had to take down the files. And we talked about, you know, the Liberator coming out and so on. I've talked to Cody probably, I don't know, a dozen times, had him on the air 6-7 times over the months, you know, from the beginning. And I understood what this really was about. It's not about guns. It's about information. It's about knowledge. It's about your ability to resist. Man, I tell you, you know, once they get a fire in the peasantry, you got to snuff it. You got to nip it. Nip it in the bud. Well, that's what's been going on for a long time. You get around a while, and I tell you, you know, you see this pattern over and over and over. And you can see how desperate the government has become to maintain any kind of legitimacy. You know, you don't need shiny badges and documents and made-up fictitious rationales for we rule you when, you know, people have the ability to do it themselves. And you don't create a system that supports the worst, the people that would gravitate towards a we rule you position just because they got a shiny tie and, you know, capped teeth doesn't make them, you know, any better ruler than, you know, the scum through history anyway. And we'll talk to Butler about that. I can see where this is going. It is going to be a test of wills. Okay, I guess you can rule us, or no, you can't. And how many people say no, you can't to make a difference? I don't know. But they definitely go after those guys first. And it's never the guy that's, you know, not paying his taxes that gets nailed. It's the guy that's teaching others not to pay their taxes that gets nailed. So what we try and do is be an inspiration. This is what we did this weekend. Saturday and Sunday and yesterday, you know, there were four of us out there yesterday. All weekend, we have been constructing all of the segments and so on for 3 8-foot radius, 16-foot diameter, big enough domes. We're almost done. You know, I was hoping to get, it's just a tedious thing. I mean, when you got like 500 segments of half-inch conduit, EMT, that you got to press and, you know, cut and measure and drill and polish and sand and, you know, yada, yada, yada. We want to get it, you know, where it's done right. And, you know, we could finish earlier, but, you know, perfectionist. Excuse me. So we're going to go ahead and finish that probably today. I'm communicating. I told all the aquaponic guys and the battery guys and the biodiesel guys and all that kind of stuff. I'd let them know by today, you know, where we're at. So it looks like we're probably going to have the domes up within the next 48 hours. So I'm going to go ahead and have them. I don't want to put the covering on until we did all the plumbing and infrastructure. It's a lot easier to work when you just got the frame there, and then we'll cover it. So I'm going to go ahead and have them come over, and we're going to put in the whole aquaponics system. Now, Leo, the guy that does Japanese quail, needed a lot more room. He goes, I'm running out of room. I got hundreds of birds. He's like freaking got a business going on just Craigslist. So I'm going, okay. You know, and he did really well out at the Prepper Fest. In fact, that gentleman in North Scottsdale was so impressed with it, he gave him a big giant contract to come and replicate what he's done on the side of his yard. His only request is that the infrastructure that he had, the building, the covering, the pergola, whatever, kind of go in with his architecture. He didn't want, like, you know, like a dome on the side of his yard or something that his neighbors would even know what he's doing. So you go, look, if you can build this, if you can replicate what you got going on here and this and that and certain, you know, right here, I want you to hear, boom, money. So he goes, okay, I can do that. Because he's a contractor kind of guy. I mean, the boy's got skills, got tools. He can do this. In fact, he's a professional house painter. Now, we have a deck out there. It's about, I don't know, it's like 12 by 12, 16 by 16 out there. I should go measure it. And he did the painting on it. Got it all nice and purdy and everything. So we're going to have a really nice area out there that we're going to highlight all this stuff. When I do my video switcher and I go to this screen, this screen, and I got a fourth one, I'm going to, Drew Phillips is now going to the BitCon or Bitcoin, whatever it is, in San Francisco. We're going to be talking with him Friday morning. He's going to have some of the primaries that are, you know, really behind monetizing all this Bitcoin stuff. And he's just, you know, a big fan. They're going to make, here we go. This convention that they're having there, we're going to have Friday morning. He's going to be broadcasting live, you know, to through us, and we'll have some guests and what they're going to talk about and doing and so on. There are a lot. There's so much going on that, you know, a whole nother generation of shifting towards the man doesn't get. You know what I mean? And I just, we're going to do our best to highlight this. Now, when he gets done with that conference this weekend, he's going to be coming up to here, and we're going to be setting in that fourth channel, because he's my video guy, because he knows all that stuff. We're going to be go ahead and putting in that fourth channel to when I go and break, I'm just going to push that button and the cameras go on outside. During the break, by the end of the show, the top of the hour breaks, during the breaks, when I got a little bit of time, I'm going to be managing the entire aquaponic system in the morning, and hopefully I'm done. Certainly done with the recording and showing and doing and look what happened today and this is, you know, going well and that and look at dead fish or, you know, live birds. What I mean, you know, we're going to, you know, step by step walk us through this and have enough of the help and the experience of these guys that have been doing it for a while. They're going to help us and we're going to highlight some of their products. One of the guys, you know, he was like, let me tell you what's going to happen. From 5 years of doing this, he goes, and he has a big retail outlet that he's really developing these and selling them and putting them in, and he's not too far from here. Has nice digs out there, and we hooked him up with the other guys, and they're, you know, all coordinating and helping this project. And he said, it's simple things. It's like everybody wants to use the half-cut barrels, you know, to do their stuff. But then you got the shallow ends up here on the water and the flow of the yada yada that doesn't work because you need to have the smaller yada yada. And he goes, oh, and you see this rusty rebar that you had in the ground over here? You take that, you put it in a PVC thing with some dirt in it, and you throw it into your fish tank. Why? Because it starts to lose iron. He goes, one of the big things is they don't have enough iron in the water. People don't know. All of a sudden, months go by, and it starts to get down to where your plants get yellow. And you go, well, what do I need to do? You need to put a little rebar in there. You need to have it in there before. You didn't know that? No, I did not know that. Different kind of mediums, different kind of. Now, since we're using a dome, we're going to circle all the stuff down around the dome, and we'll have multiple 3D layers of this stuff. It'll be kind of a, you know, maybe not be a horizontal or a vertical garden. It'll be a spiraling garden. So we're setting this all up now. We'll keep you up.
Are you tired of governments murdering people around the world? Stop using their money. There is an alternative. Bitcoin is a stateless, free market, non-political currency. Bitcoin cannot be inflated or controlled by any government. By using their money, you are helping the state. Stop doing it. You have an incredible alternative available now. Learn it, use it, spread it. Get started with Bitcoin at weusecoins.com. That's weusecoins.com.
You're listening to the best Liberty-oriented audio streamed around the clock, on the air and online. This is the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.fm.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
aquaponics expert brings sustainability to the desert in Arabia. You know, this is, you know, if it works, it works. So it looks like it's working all over the world. And, you know, food has always been a control mechanism. You know, if you ever seen, I'll give you a good example, Black Hawk Down, the movie. The whole thing was, you know, all the aid that was coming in was being seized by the militias and the guys with the guns, and they were distributing it to whomever, you know, was a benefit to them. So I, you know, you would think also that the guys with the guns would be like, oh, ho, 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 we got to maintain our control. You got a farm. You think they would go and say, oh, I'm sorry, you know, you're not allowed to grow your own food. Of course they would, you know, because it takes away their control. I mean, you look at, I remember there was a film, Oscar-winning short documentary, 1980, called Toward Liberty, Carl Hess. And in there, he was like, you know, there was a lot of things. He wasn't saying high tech, low tech. He was saying it was tech that you could understand. You know, things that people would be able to do themselves. The power, the threat to the central collective is the ability to be free of the collective. This weekend, when we had a lot of the guys were talking and, the, you know, different individuals coming by, or, I don't know, a bunch of different people, but, you know, they all had kind of the same story. They came from various different walks of life and realized that, you know, government bad. So, I, you know, what to do? And they, did you know about this and this, you know, conspiracy theory and this history and this thing and this? Yeah, probably. There's not a whole lot I haven't heard, or at least have a little bit I know about. But it's all the same theme. You know, we rule you. I mean, you know, it's what we allow. It's not them. It's us. Of course, there's these kind of guys. You know, they exist all over. But, you know, normally they're just a bully. And that was the one thing that really kind of struck me in this documentary that was done about Carl Hess and kind of rise of anarchism and so on. Is that if you look at Hitler, you look at Mussolini, you look at Mao, you look at, you know, Pol Pot, you look at all the, they're just bullies. You know, at a local neighborhood level, you know, these guys would be the local bully. And, you know, the only power that they have is the amount of bullying you allow them to do. And you give them a uniform and a badge and a position, you know, they just bigger bullies. Associate with other bullies, and you get more bullied. So it's of course they're there. They gravitate to each other. Do they make up the vast majority of humanity? Hell no. But they're the excuse that's always used to have the power centralized to defend against all enemies, all bullies, foreign and domestic. It's always the excuse. Of course we have bullies in our life, but this guy would be bad. There's somebody that would this. They would take that. They would, yeah, it's called government, okay? But it so we could see, and that's one thing I like about Cody Wilson. He always brings it down to philosophy like this. You know, it's a philosophical challenge. You know, it's a, you know, anarchism, leave me aloneism, voluntarism, whatever you want to call it, you know, versus, you know, those that don't like that. So, okay, why don't they like it? They need that kind of security? Are they that devoid of self-confidence? They need somebody to baby them, take care of them? I guess some do, but they're created. You know, they're manufactured. This nationalism, patriotism, whatever-ism to some collective that's always the promise they're going to take care of you, but that's the mechanism by which they take it away, and you're empowering these kinds of people. Stop. Just stop. It's your own mind that's imprisoning you. So while all these guys are talking about their favorite, you know, conspiracy or history or link to whoever and what, you know, the guys, you know, go ahead and put down Richard Grove, you know, to see if we can get him back on. You know, I'd like to talk to him. Tragedy and Hope. He is a really good example of this. I mean, well-read. He knows chapter and verse. He's a big fan of John Taylor Gatto, going to carry the mantle, you know, from generations of John Taylor Gatto. That is not going to be lost on Richard Grove. He's going to carry, these guys are bad, and they're right here in their own words, and they said, and they meant it, and they're doing it, and here, and I'm going, yeah. But Ernie, I go, what are you going to do? Convince me they're really, 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 really bad? You know, I get it. What's the solution? Well, we need to get the right people in or something. I mean, I'm talking to people this weekend. I said, you guys don't understand what I'm doing here. This ability to feed ourselves, that is the activism. That is what we needed. That's it. Right there. Done. Next. All the other stuff has been, you know, you don't know how much effort and work so many of us have gone through over the years just to convince our friends, neighbors, family that there even is a problem, that these guys are bad. No, they're not your friend. No, there is no such thing as officer friendly, you know, when you're out in the lone prairie. I mean, you know, I'm sure there may be, but there are definitely exceptions now that prove the rule. I can tell you that. So it's just, it's us. It's us. And I'm trying to make sure that we don't be our own enslavers. It's always, you need to ask permission. You know, how many times I get, well, are they going to let you do this, put these domes? Are they going to do, where they can see it from the road? And are you, I go, look, I'm putting it here on purpose. I want them to see it. That is the point. You know, we're going to be communicating with our neighbors. You know, we already started. We're going to, you know, starting this June, hopefully we get everything ready. You know, Alma is working on the social network, and that's one thing we tested this weekend is she and Leo's young daughter, it's about, I don't know, 11 or so, they were setting up the video cameras, doing their live streaming on their iPads, and they were doing little interviews, and they're watching different stages of the process as we're all, you know, making the dome materials. And so we're going, okay, you know, take some pictures, oh, Pinterest, a little Instagram. You know, a little video on the Facebook thing. Oh, we're doing it, you know. So they're playing with that, almost getting it all taken care of and getting it all worked up and kind of, here we go. So we're testing all of this social networking because when we hit, I want to hit it hard. I want to hit it to where everybody knows what we're doing and why. Let me tell you, if we cannot be independent, we will forever be dependent. And if we can demonstrate in the middle of the freaking desert here that we can take care of this, you know, they're doing it in Arabia. I mean, they got, you know, big, giant, you know, concerns there trying to feed themselves. This has been going on for millennia. You go into the drier areas of the Arabian Peninsula and so on, they got entire cities underneath them that are filled with water, big, giant cisterns. They collect everything. Rainwater is, man, there's a lot. When it rains, man, there's, you know, oceans. You just got to collect it. They knew this, so they did. They're starting to go back to that technology again. I want you to understand what the plan is. We will highlight and detail certain things. This time, we're probably going to do the infrastructure, the dome, and so on, get some details on that. There's a lot of things that we can do better and faster, and if we had the right machining and doing whatever, and we're working on that. We did get some cool machines. We got a switch-activated hydraulic for our 20-ton press that you got at Harbor Freight for $100. I would have paid a gazillion dollars for this before had I known about it. But, you know, really? For $100, I can go get that? And does the squish it. It saved us a bunch of time. So those are part of the videos and so on. But our plan is that in the fall, we're going to have a big harvest. We'll have one of these fields. We'll have a bunch of pumpkins. We'll have the kids come in. We'll have the aquaponic, you know, crowd and the permaculture and the tea party and the oath keeping and all that. And a big field that we have out here, about a quarter acre. And we're just going to have a festival. Fun. Share. Food. Barter. Trade. Sell.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free. I want to break free from your life.
Yeah, I just want to break free. You know, it's not, it's not a limited to a geography. It's not limited to Americans. Not limited to any. It's just limited. I don't know. Is there some animal that doesn't want to be out of a cage? You know, I mean, and to a point, we get to where, you know, they call it free range chickens when they let them, you let them run around in, on your farm or in your backyard. But in the end, they still wind up on the plate, you know? And the human beings, they found out that, you know, it's pretty easy to see over time that the more free they are, or at least certainly the more free they think they are, the more productive they are. So if you can get them to produce like it's theirs, and then you just take their pension later, I mean, you get the most pension. You know, you got to let them think that they're doing it for themselves and it's theirs and they got a handle on it. And then you just steal it from them with inflation. And if that doesn't work, you just take it. You know, this is all coming down. There's the legitimacy of the promise of government going to protect our rights and save our property and, you know, litigate our damages. And so it's just, it's all going away. So when talking to the young men and women that were around this weekend, I'm going, look, I you have to understand, you know, I've been through all these different phases. I, you know, checked off all the boxes. You know, did you call your legislator? Did you run for office? Did you file a lawsuit? Did you, you know, make sure everybody knew, media, blah, 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 blah. Check, bunch of times. Okay, bunch of times. So what's the solution? I go, my activism now is this. If you can get people independent, even in their head, you know, we started seeing a big wave of, you know, we'll just do the home birth thing. You know, nah, we're not going to vaccinate, just put whatever, you know, notions and potions injected into our children next generation. You know, we're just, you know, I vote not. You know, it's not working out. We live in a fog of chemicals. You don't think so? I tried to, you know, this is my teenage kids. You know, we had four teenagers at home at one time. I mean, damn. The estrogen and testosterone dripped off the walls, them and all their friends. It was just, and Donna and I knew that, you know, this will pass, you know, thankfully. But, you know, we enjoyed it at the time. We had a good time. We knew that we were going to get to experience that again. So by that time, we'd already raised them pretty much to be adults, you know, before they even hit puberty. So, I mean, like, you think you're going to start raising your children when they hit, all the hormones hit their brain? If you hadn't got them all kind of set on right and wrong by then, it's too freaking late, I can tell you that. So a lot of people find that out. And I tell you, they find it out from experience, not from any kind of education or the propaganda from the media or the state. You know, it's always, you know, we'll raise your kids. You know, we got some school program. We got some special drug. We got whatever. You know, parenting is not really taught as a skill other than through tradition. You getting it from school? You getting it from the government? No. It's what grandma and grandpa have passed down or just experience. And I tell you, the best thing is from each other. Just people talking. Different websites, how to, you know, this is my experience, books. So, I mean, it's changed so much in just the last 10 years. In the last 5 years, it has changed an enormous amount. We are over the hump where before it was everything we could do to just bring awareness that there even might be a problem. Now the problems are obvious. It's the solutions. Okay, therefore, what? Okay, well, we're going to do the what. I wanted to make sure as we talked to a lot of young guys, I go, look, when you're sitting around, you're at work and you know who they are, you know, libertarians and activists, we know who they are. And you have them all over the place. It's like you ask them a question and man, you're going to get the 2-hour download of the whatever. You know, I'm just as guilty as a lot of others, but I've learned over the years that, you know, I give you an example. It's always 9/11. I go, yeah, as soon as you can explain to me where all that molten metal came from, then we can talk about everything else. Yeah, but this thing or that thing, it was true, it wasn't, it was an inside job, it wasn't. I go, yeah, well, that's all very interesting. Time out. Until you can explain to me where all that molten metal came from, I don't even want to talk about it. You know what I mean? Somebody deal with, because I know you go to the one good thing that is of a good question that needs to be answered. I don't need 5 gazillion things. I just give me the one. That's true with a lot of things. You know, education. Well, as soon as you explain this to me, as soon as you explain that to me, as soon as you, you know, I do enough conversation just to make sure that the person I'm talking to understands why I'm so convinced. I don't try and convince them. I just want them to understand why I'm so convinced. These are the things that happen, you know, and you can address these issues and we're good. They'll go off and do some research. And once you, if you send them down the right path, all of a sudden, bam, it's, you know, the next holiday you see them, the next work cycle, the next season, the next Thanksgiving or whatever. You got friends and family coming up. Hey, man, did you know about this and this? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So you go through it and you go, wow, man, wow, that's, you know, oh, yeah, go check on this thing. So this is, you know, a lot of this stuff, I'm going, look, man, you can't overload people. I mean, if they'll get defensive. They will avoid you instead of coming to ask you. So if you just send them down the road, you know, go check on something. If they check, don't check, fine. No skin off your nose, you're good. You know, if they want to know what your opinion is, you just keep saying, I go, did you check this? Okay, when you check that, then come back, talk to me. So you do that, and all of a sudden, all the people that ever come in contact with you around, all of a sudden they start getting woken up. They say, whoa, man, I did not know that. Instead of avoiding you because you're like a tar baby. They can't get the parasite. Damn, every time I look, no, don't look at him. He'll start talking about New World Order or something, you know? So I'm going, the activism to all that is this. It's this. I want you to go look at this article. It is about this Jabra Mazrui or whatever from United Arab Emirates. And it talks about how he started doing the aquaponics thing. And for so many reasons and why, and his education and history and talking to people and how it's developing and so on. And he's just, and its environmental impact and how they reuse water and the potential for food production. He is less than a year started this, tons of food. 4,000 square meter farm. That's all, you know, aquaponics. And he's doing, this system can produce about 1,200 lettuce heads per day. As for tomatoes, at the moment, we have only one system working out of four. And still, we're harvesting between 180 and 220 kilograms every day. The vegetables are being sold in big supermarkets across Abu Dhabi. And he says some five-star restaurants have approached him. They want to get, you know, it's a higher quality, healthier thing. It's going to be, are your tomatoes aquaponic tomatoes? Well, I don't want them unless they are. We're going to go ahead and demonstrate this. And I know you would think that the man would be like, you know, food. You know, they, you know, kind of keep their distance on this. I don't see how they can. So this fall, this whole thing is building up to, we're working with the Valley Permaculturalists, Native Seeds, you know, the aquaponic system guys, biodiesel generation, solar power. And so, I mean, we're getting it all set up and we're going to have a big harvest out here, you know, and the kids getting their pumpkins and we'll have trade fairs and bartering silver and Bitcoin and doing the whole spiel and bringing everybody together. They're already in. They're like, yep, done. They got another Prepper Fest thing going on in November, so this will be right before that. Then we have the Valley Permaculturalists. They got a, you know, kind of a harvest thing that goes on too, and we're going to go ahead and have coordinate with these guys and have some fun out here. When that happens, there will be a by then. I'd be shocked if it doesn't happen before then. There's going to be a massive increase in this kind of farming, or any farming, but, you know, this works really well, certainly for the Southwest here and a lot of other places. The tilapia fish likes it really hot. I mean, it's amazing how, you know, because they're from the Nile in Egypt. Now, in more cooler climes, you might want to do trout or something like that, but we're going to go ahead and do it. We're about ready to show some. We got, go look on our Facebook page. You know, go friend Freedom's Phoenix. Go look at Ernest Hancock on Freedom's Phoenix. I mean, on Facebook. Just, you know, do a search for Ernest Hancock. And you'll see some of the videos of us putting this stuff together this last weekend. We're going to keep sharing with you. We're going to have a subscription-based, you know, thing. Get some little inside PDFs and plans and measurements and tools and so on. So that you can do this, too. I see where this goes. It's us earning and deserving our freedom by being independent. And we're going to help. We'll be right back.
More Declare Your Independence is coming up next, live after the news, here on the Liberty Radio Network, LRN.FM.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Good morning. Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. We're still working on Cody. I know we'll get him soon. We kind of threw him in at the last minute last night. He said he'd do it, and I bet he's sleeping. Now, but he's been, you know, busy. A lot of stuff. A lot of long conversations. I tell you one of the things that I wanted to talk to him and you and everybody else about, and certainly we're going to bring it up with Butler Schaefer in the next hour. Adam Kokesh's, in fact, I even sent Adam's revolution speech, you know, from the revolution march in July of 08 to Cody, and he hadn't seen it. And I go, I see this next generation of you guys going up against these guys. You got to understand, you know, there's, you know, I, if you study any kind of history, which is what made me think of Butler Schaefer and come on and talk about a lot of these different things. And we were talking last night, and Butler says, he goes, you know, a lot of these guys, they think history started with the Reagan administration. You know, anything before Reagan was like, you know, didn't exist. They don't know, you know, heck, a lot of the same people from the 50s, 60s, 70s are what's screwing us now. What did we have on Freedom's Phoenix? Oh, my God, I couldn't believe this. You know, we had, there's a Democracy and Freedom Award or something they just gave to Kissinger. I mean, you know, it's like Nobel Peace Prize to Obama. So how much do I need to do? I mean, you know, Freedom's Phoenix is a, you know, it's a site that has a lot of this kind of stuff. You know, we have a lot of great, right? Ray McGovern, you know, former CIA intelligence guy, gives the presidential report on, you know, goes to the White House for many presidents. You know, he's the deepening shame of Guantanamo. He keeps going on what this represents. You know, Glenn Greenwald, that always does a lot of good stuff on anti-war, he was on Bill Maher, I think, and he just was slapping him around. Then you have, I mean, it just goes, okay, I get it. You know, we know who the shills are. We know who the Piers Morgan guys are, the plethora of talking heads like on V for Vendetta. I mean, you know, I'm anybody that doesn't see it is, you know, willful ignorance. And their rankings are going way down in viewerships. I give you an example. I'm trying to get away from the cable news network kind of thing. I can't 30 seconds and I'm just being lied to. I mean, I used to look at it that let's see what they're trying to push. Let's see all the propaganda. Let's see just, and it's so bad and it's so repetitive and it's so the same theme that I don't see any benefit. Even in the position of talk radio and this kind of, I don't see any benefit. I want to change, you know, my effort. I want to be, you know, focused on the things that make a bigger difference. And that's one of the conversation that Cody and I had a couple of days ago. He called to turn in a call or something. And it was, look, the important things, you know, the things that matter, medical devices, you know, limbs for amputees, you know, things for children, things for, I mean, just 3D printing, all kinds of stuff make our lives better, cheaper, a much higher standard of living because of this technology. Those are the things I find important. Quit focusing on the guns so much. And you're talking to who? You know, founder of SAFE, Second Amendment is for everyone. Big gunny kind of, you know, I see the right. But as a touchstone, you know, to the mind of the man, it's like the Vulcan mind meld into how you are perceived by the government. What are you going to prove? That they're bad? So we get to Kokesh. We had him on last week. I think I'll call him. I think I might even write an article. I don't know. It's hopefully to frame what he's doing, because he's getting, you know, committed into this, and he's going to be walking across the bridge, and you have all these guys will muster up. They'll be, you know, all the, yeah, we're going to for my cold dead hands kind of people. Some people may just be soldiers. Some people may just had enough. Some people are willing to, you know, cross that bridge. But I guarantee you this. You get up on that bridge out of Virginia and you go into Washington, D.C. with a loaded rifle, and I guarantee you're going to jail. At least. Adam knows this. He's anticipating, hopefully he can keep it peaceful and choreographed, where he just walks across the bridge and waiting arms up. What about the next guy? And the next guy? And the next guy? How many people will do that? How many people will get up front? How many people want to do? And what if they just beat the living crap out of Adam? You know, heck, I think that would be a bad idea. But the I can see that, and you know what's going to, yeah, we're going to have a Fiji thing. We're going to make fully informed jury. We'll make sure they know. We'll make sure everybody knows that the Heller decision that came down to the Supreme Court, the city of Washington, D.C., has not complied. They don't care. The rules only apply to them when they feel like it. There's going to be a lot of things brought up. There's going to be a lot of things that's going to be detailed for a lot of people. And it'll probably wake up a lot of other people and scare a lot of other people. And to me, I think we're getting past this point to where, what are you going to do? Show that they're bad? I'm looking for the after, the solution, the next. There, in the mid-90s, L. Neil Smith, a libertarian science fiction writer, is popular with us, and he came to a state convention and spoke, Libertarian Party convention here in Arizona, and he said, government is a dying dinosaur. All you got to do is stay clear of the tail. You know, if it's coughing up blood over there, well, you got Count Coup or something, you're going to go up and poke it. You know, stop. This is the attitude that I'm getting. You know, I'm just about loving my neighbor, man. Because in the end, you better. You're going to have to. They're going to be the ones that's going to be pounding on your door, you know, wanting to take your goodies because they didn't prepare and they don't know what to do. They're going to be afraid. They're even going to have the help of government. Hey, that guy's got, you know, a few days more food than you. We need to, you know, confiscate it for the collective. We got to redistribute for the, you know, benefit of the people. And, you know, and the people that are doing that, they always eat well. They're always got enough food. You know, all these juntas, these regimes, these governments, any aid that comes from anywhere, it always goes to their armies and bureaucrats first. This shift in thinking is not really a shift in thinking. This is where we were always going. That's why it's declare your independence. You got to be independent, self-sustaining, permaculture, all these other words. One thing they'll go on about, did you know, did you know, did you know, and this came up, and you've heard me talk about it, and I'll do the same thing I do with them. I go, look up, let's do a wiki search on Green Cross Mikhail Gorbachev. Mikhail Gorbachev, for youngins, you know, don't remember, yeah, I kind of heard that name, you know. He was the head of the Soviet Union. I mean, the big giant, the bad guy on the other side, Reagan versus. And Gorbachev, you know, is perceived to be, you know, well, he's not as communist as the other communists. He's willing to open up a little bit of communist. Well, same thing was with China. You know, the same people will still be in charge. They just kind of open up a little bit because a freer range chicken produces more, tastes better, but they go and get tasted. Mikhail Gorbachev, Green Cross. Look it up. That's where all this stuff is, you know, there's a hub to all the crap that's going on with this Agenda 21, sustainable Obamacare and doing kind of, there's a hub of all that, a philosophy, a mentality. And it's not even necessarily homegrown, but it is growing. And we need to fight back. We'll be right back.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
All right, we're right back. This is what I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you where we're doing the aquaponics. Now, those of you on video or you go to the video archive, you know, for what is today's date? Today is the 14th, Tuesday, May 14th, 2013 show. Now, if you go to that show and you go to the archive, the video archive, you can see these pictures. Now, I'm going to go ahead and pause it. And I'm going to go ahead, those that are watching the video, I'm going to go ahead and give you a description for those on radio, and hopefully you'll understand what we're doing. Let me go ahead and start from the beginning here. All right. We have on the side of our yard a area that we're going to be using and we're going to till. Now, I want to go ahead and give you, all right, right here. You'll see the vehicle that we have in the front right side as I'm facing the front of the yard, you know, facing the front of our street from our home. There is on the side yard, there's a gate there, and we have a bunch of stuff on the other side, the barn and all that. So there's an area here. It's about 30 by 60 that we're going to use. Now, we used it for a garden before, and I mean, damn, it got overgrown. It was, you know, it was a thing. So you'll see, the one thing I want you to notice, that across the street and to the side, you'll see horse properties. You'll see, you know, big open fields that are irrigated. Within an hour, all of a sudden, I got 6 inches of water over a 2-acre area. It's amazing. You know, the guys were doing this weekend, and all of a sudden, they were turning around, our entire yard's flooded. And they go, what the heck was that? Hey, man, irrigation. And it's very inexpensive. You know, for $100-something a month, I can have my entire 2 acres flooded twice. It's you know, it's really amazing and how they greened up Phoenix so much. What a lot of people don't know is how much water there is here. Underneath it, they'll try to, oh, it's contaminated and you can't, and this, and you only have to get it from the Phoenix Municipal Wells, and we don't want you to do it, and, you know, we get our cut kind of thing. You know, I'm just... wow. You know, it's just this mentality. We got to break free from that. So this yard, you know, I'm tilling it here. I go ahead and I get this all tilled. Now, this door that you have on the side here, in front up here, that right there is the air conditioner. I sit right about there in our studio. This whole section out here is the studio. Now, they have a laundry room here. Now, when I come around, I go down the hallway and I come out this door. It's going to lead right into a door of the dome here. The dome is going to have a door that goes out to the deck here, and it's going to connect to a second dome here. Now, when I come out here, I walk a path into the second dome. There'll be another door. So this dome has two openings, one that goes into one dome, one that goes straight into it. The other dome has two openings going into it, here and here, and then it's connected to the other dome. The radio, that doesn't make a lot of sense to y'all. Now, what we're going to go ahead and do is that we're getting this all prepped, you know, that I did for, now, there's the deck. It's about a, I don't know, 12 by 12 or something deck, and then you see the rest of our backyard. We have a lot of room. We have a lot of room that we, but that's not the point. We want to make use of this one area. It's convenient. It's by the end of the show, a total of maybe a half hour, you know, of work every day, of me just walking out there during the breaks and so on, the videoing of that, is manning this entire aquaponics system. Because if it takes more than that, then it's like, you know, work. I want to be done. I got a bunch of stuff. I don't have time. So we'll invest all the time now getting this ready and do it. Now, the only reason I'm tilling this is so that I can level it. I need to get it level and all nice and pretty. And I'm probably going to take a bunch of straw. Just bales of straw that they put in, you know, the bedding to lay down for horses or whatever. You know, it doesn't have any nutritional value or anything. It's just straw. So we're going to just, you know, put a real thick bed of that. We learned from Taryn Lupo that if you got thick enough wood chips, you know, and I don't have access to a lot of wood chips, but we can get some straw. And you do it there. You don't have to worry about weeds and so on. So that we're prepping the foundation for this. Now, you can see my neighbors. Now, they are going to be able to see this. This is going to be a neon flash and obvious. Anybody that drives down the street in front of us, they're going to see through the open fields and the horse fencing and everything. They go, ooh, what's that? What's that dome over there? What are they doing? So this isn't going to be a secret. Now, we just painted this deck. You know, Leo came over and did that, made that all pretty. Now, and there you get a good view of our neighbors. So what I'm going to do is have from where I'm standing at this one, you go from the far corner there and elevate a camera to where you can see this, and it goes into our backyard. Now, back there, you can't see in the shadows here is our chicken coop, and we have goats back there and citrus trees and so on. But the real interesting part of this is this. We have a waterfall, a water feature, a pond. That thing is a big pain in my butt. You know, Donna likes it. It has, you know, our bedroom is right here. She opens that window and you can hear the waterfall going. There's somebody's wife definitely wanted that put in. Now, there's Donna, you know, pruning a lot of the trees and everything. Now, this is where all the fish is are going to be. This thing probably has a capacity of about two big hot tubs. So imagine two big hot tubs filled with fish. That's going to be a lot. So we're going to go ahead and we'll make use of that. Now, we will pump the water from the fish here into the domes here, just running along here, and it's probably about 30 feet away, 40 feet away. So we'll go ahead and have that. We'll feed the aquaponic system, but the return will come back to the top of the waterfall. Why? So we still get our waterfall. And it also aerates. It'll be an excellent, perfect use of this. Okay, so that works out. Now, the views of this, it's also about, you know, the aesthetics of it, the sound, the views. This is really, the guys that have come over, the aquaponics guys, the biodiesel generators, the Hope Water System, they see what we're doing. They go, oh, this is going to be a good highlight. This is going to be nice. So we can see where you're going with this. And we'll make it all pretty and get it all cleaned up and kind of, you know, manicured and everything. And then I'm going to see how easy it is to keep it that way. Now, you can see our neighbors are going to be seeing what we're doing. We are going to be the focus of a lot of interest in our neighborhood. As we bring over other groups and have parties and so on, everybody's going to want the tour of this, just like they want the tour of my lab, you know, which is still going to be videotaped and highlighted in a lot of this, too. It's all part of the same thing, being able to be independent. Now, the view, you know, from the back, you kind of get more of an idea what this looks like. But there's also another pond. It was like a stream that somebody had built here before, the previous owners, that they have a concrete and river rock stream that came from another water feature. It'd fill up and the water would flow into this. Now, anybody that comes out here, they go, oh, man, you got to use this as part of the system. And then your duckweed goes here and you can plant there, blah, blah, blah. I go, yeah, that sounds like a job. You should come over and do that. So as we expand this area, we may do this. Now, all this under this whole area on the side of the yard, it goes all the way back probably 100 feet. We have two large 60, 70, 80-foot pine trees. I mean, it's enormous. You irrigate, you get all kinds of trees. This area, we can have our chickens and whatever, move all kinds of different stuff in there, livestock, do the quail thing like Leo's doing and so on. So you can see we have a nice foundation from which to build a food-generating area. I encourage you to go to May 13th show in the second hour, in the second segment, and you can see this.
MindThings.com is a fun online game that pits you against people around the world to mine for scarce resources. Do business in a capitalist economy with virtually mined gold, tax-free. It doesn't require a big time commitment. Your little mining robot guy works whether you're logged in or not. It costs nothing to play, but you can buy bonuses. They even accept bitcoins. Go to minethings.com, use coupon code FTL, and double your mining speed. It's free. Minethings.com.
If you can't listen to the Liberty Radio Network's internet streams, free satellite channel, or radio affiliates, no worries. You can listen to LRN.FM from any phone, anywhere. Add this number to your phone, 213-493-0309. It's a long-distance call, so make sure you're familiar with your phone's calling plan. The Liberty Radio Network listen lines are locked into our stream 24 hours a day. Call 213-493-0309. That's 213-493-0309.
A congressman recently revealed that legislation totaling 2,900 pages and involving more than $1 trillion was available to members of Congress for less than 48 hours to study and consider. That's over 60 pages of legislation per hour. Do you think anyone read the entire bill? I'm Jim Babka with DownsizeDC.org. Consider a proposal buried in a 3,200-page, $388 billion bill, which would have empowered committee chairmen or their agents to examine Americans' tax returns. When this horrible provision came to light, no one claimed to know how it got into the bill. One congressman questioned said, "I didn't write it, I didn't approve it, I wasn't even consulted." If your attorney represented you this way, he might be disbarred. But this is how Congress represents you every day. That's why DownsizeDC.org has created the Read the Bills Act. You can force Congress to read their bills before they pass them at DownsizeDC.org.
Listen to LRN.FM on any phone, anytime. 213-493-0309. That's 213-493-0309.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and take this opportunity, since we have the chance, to go ahead and put this in to the video archive and explain it to you guys and see what we can benefit from. What we are doing is we are creating this dome. We are going to go ahead and have a radius of 8 feet about. We went just under 8 feet. It's like 7 feet, 9 inches or something, so that we could get the maximum use out of the 10-foot conduit that we have. We're taking two of these domes that we're showing here, hanging, you know, my friend Bob is hanging from the middle of it, just, you know, showing how strong it is. You can stand on top of this thing. Even with, you know, half-inch conduits, very strong structure. And you take these, one of these center stars out, and you put two rods here, makes a doorway, and you put two of them together, all of a sudden you got a two-room dome. Once I saw how large this was and how spacious it felt, and then you just put a bunch of them together, and you can connect them across, you know, big, giant areas and have, you know, large rooms. Man, it's just amazing. I'm really looking forward to this. But it's labor-intensive. I'm going to show you some of that here in a little bit, too. So what we do is we cut the conduit. Now, when you want to know what EMT conduit is, it's when you go to any industrial area or restaurant or something, or in the bathrooms and commercial, they put the electrical wires inside metal tubes. That's all it is. It's called EMT. And a 10-foot section of that, you know, used to be like a dollar. You know, now it's like $2, but still, you can get it. You got somebody that's in the electrical industry, and they can order wholesale, whatever. You're paying about $1.50 per stick. Now, you need, you know, probably about 70 sticks. So you're looking at, you know, I don't know, less than $200 to build a dome. But that's without the covering. We'll get to that in a moment. You cut it. Then you press it. Now, this bottle jack that we had, we got a pneumatic one that ran off our compressor, and we do it with a switch, so we didn't have to sit there and pump it all day, so that made this go a lot faster. When you squish the EMT conduit, now you got a flat end, and you drill a hole in it where the pin's going to go through. A lot of times I'm building domes, you'll have the connectors, and they cost more than the rods. You know, the connectors are... they're complex to make, they're a pain in the butt to order, they cost a lot of money, and they add a lot of weight and space when you're shipping the thing or you're moving it from somewhere to somewhere. So if you just have a pin that goes through, just like this drill bit that goes through and connects all these together, the rods themselves become their own hinge. And I'm like, once I saw that being, I said, done, man, I'm all over it. Now, we sand it and smooth it and burnish it with, you know, brass wire brushes. We got all kind of anal about it because we didn't want any sharp edges on this, for one, safety. And the big thing is also when the winds blow the covering on top of it and slaps around it, sharp edges will rip the fabric. So we got to be, you know, kind of careful and smooth it. We close it with a pin. Now, you can use threaded rods and all kinds of get funky, but for the stuff that we do, you can just cinch it down by a pin with a Carter pin that goes in and just holds it together, and you can get it tight, and it works fine. Now, when I first constructed my first dome, I color-coded each of the different sizes. We did what's called a three-phase dome. Now, let me show this. You go to what's right now, if you're listening audio, write this down. Desert Domes. DesertDomes.com. Or you can Google Dome Calculator right here. Now, the dome calculator, it shows there are different kinds of domes that uses how many different sizes of conduit. You go a single phase, it just looks like a bunch of big triangles, you know, together, like a tough shed kind of thing you can do. Two-phase domes work well, but you just have two different sizes of conduit, but they aren't as rounded and you don't have as straight up a sides when you do it. If you go to the three phase, that seems to be the best one that we found to use with. Now, what you do is you go, I'm going to show you how to do this on Desert Domes. You got to figure out what your radius is. What's your radius? Well, we went, I think it was 7.92, whatever. And the reason was, is we wanted to get the maximum use out of our dome. So, I mean, out of the conduit that we were using. So we went ahead and you put that in, and it calculates all of the lengths for you. Now, this gives us, you know, the C length of 3.266 feet allows us to cut three of the large segments, which is the most of them that we need to have a 10-foot section with like a quarter inch left over. You know, so we're making maximum use of it, and we have a, instead of a 16-foot diameter, a 15-point you know, 6 foot diameter. So, you know, same thing. You won't know the difference. Now, you cut all these to length, and it tells you a 3/8 dome goes to here. And it's not as a complete dome. It's like, well, it's complete sphere is what you're making. You're making half a sphere. If you go a little bit more and you make 5/8, you get a much flatter sides, a much more usable area, and you can, at a 16-foot diameter, you can stand up next to the wall in it, so like your head is up here. So it tells you right here, immediately, this calculator, man, that just saved everything. We go, all right, of the three sections, A, B, and C length, I need 30 for a 5/8 sphere. I need 30 of the A's, 55 of the second largest size, and the large one, I need 80. Now, we did three of these, so we needed a bunch, okay? So what are we looking at? 150, you know, about 140 per, so that's almost 500 sections. So with 500 sections, means we got to flatten of almost 500, 1,000 ends. And then both sides of each end, the sand and polish, and, you know, that's like 2,000. I mean, you can see the work involved. There's, you know, at least 4 to 6 guys out here working, doing this for days. But we're just about done. We'll finish it today, and then we'll start construction. Now, when you do the construction, you'll get a dome like this. It's very strong, and it's very useful. Now, how do you cover it? Before we cover it, we are going to make sure that we have all the plumbing done and we put the racks in, everything. Then I'll worry about covering it later because we really just need shade cloth. But for the winter months, you'll want some kind of clear plastic, you know, and it'll be a greenhouse. Now, it's going to need to be white, the covering, because I want it to have translucent, you know, get the light coming in and grow the food. Now, we'll be able to move this canopy around because when you put this covering on around the bottom, you know, you get kind of a, you know, keep the dust and dirt from coming in and so on. Then you throw the covering over and you can move it back and forth, let some sun in, out, whatever. And when you get it covered, you know, we're not even going to worry about it being waterproof. What I care, you know, we want some water. So we're going to go ahead and have it shaded. Now, we can open it a little bit, a lot, you know, let the sun in some areas and not, and it gives you a nice area to work in. So this is where we're going. This is what we're doing. And when we connect the two together, it's going to give us enormous amount of work area. We keep it clean. We can keep the animals out. We can do a lot of things. This infrastructure is what we're going to build the foundation on of a kit for aquaponics. Now, if we were to make a business out of it and manufacture it, which, you know, the guys are all excited. They want to do that. Okay, we can, but we got to get the machinery so we're not doing such labor intensive. We got to, you know, be able to pump these out, you know, a lot faster. Well, I went to Sun City West out here, the retirement community, and they have all these big giant machines, and they were showing me what we needed. We needed a die and what they call a brake press, like when you're stamping out big, you know, car parts and car bodies, and they put it in and go thunk, and this big machine comes slapping down. We don't need it that big, but we need to be able to just fashion the ends real quick by just putting it in the machine instead of having doing so much manual labor. Now, the covering is a lot of algebra and stuff here too, but they have the calculator in. All I have to do is put in the size, the diameter of it, and how many segments I want to do. So here I do 11, and I calculate. And what it does is it gives me the pattern and tells me, and I just sew them together and put it together. All this has been done, and then the map on how to put it together. I'm telling you, we did all the work already. Now we're just grunting through to the end.
According to a recent survey of Bitcoin users, the most common use of Bitcoins was as donations. Hi, I'm Dr. Stephanie Murphy with FreeAid, the world's first Bitcoin-based charity. Join me as I moderate a panel discussion about Bitcoin and nonprofit organizations at the Bitcoin 2013 conference. On the panel will be Angela Keaton from Antiwar.com, Carla Garrick from the Free State Project, and Teresa Wormke, my partner at FreeAid. Bitcoin Not Bombs is launching us into financial freedom this May at the Bitcoin 2013 conference. To learn more, visit BitcoinNotBombs.com.
Did you know that you can listen to LRN.FM 24/7 via our free-to-air satellite channel? From Mexico to Canada, our signal covers nearly all of North America. All you need is a view of the southern sky, an affordable receiver, and a dish as small as 30 inches. There are no monthly fees. Learn more at sat.lrn.fm. Plus, if you're a broadcaster or want to be one, this is a good delivery method for our content. See our coverage map and get details at sat.lrn.fm. That's sat.lrn.fm.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
You know, history just keeps, you know, it's like a loop. The people, the songs, the mood, the reasoning, the, you know, it's just it's the same. And after a while, you start to realize that there's so much we have in common with humanity from around forever. It's all the same battle. You know, leave me alone-ism. And I can see where this is going. I'll give you an example. This idea of growing food and eating healthier and so on is just saturating our culture right now. And we see it coming. It's time. My activism, my political activism, my economic activism, my walletvoting.com, my Second Amendment activism, my freedom of expression activism, activism, it's all coming down to food. It's going to come down to us being healthier. It's coming down to us being able to provide for ourselves. It's coming down to us sharing this experience with our neighbors. So you have to understand, it's not frustration. It's not even a sadness. It's just a fact. You know, I just know that this is what I got to contend with. You know, a lot of times people, they don't understand. They need sanction. They need some kind of, you know, validation from someone to say, oh, yeah, it's good. You know, it's got to be vogue. It's got to be cool. It's got to be easy. It's got to be, you know, there was a gentleman that got some quail from Leo in a cage at the Prepper Fest, and then he realized it was like work. He's like, well, this is there. It's not like ATM easy. You know, here, Donna, check my phone. So I'm going, this is, what'd you think was going to happen? It's livestock. I mean, it's like you got to like feed them and water them, and it's like work. You know, those eggs just don't pop out. You know, chicken thing is pretty damn easy. But I mean, you know, it's not, you know, by itself. I guess you can automate a lot of stuff, which we plan on doing. I'm all about the automation, you know, and there's always somebody out there innovating. And if they're not, I can't. I got a workshop out here, rock and roll and whatnot. Let's do it. The guys are very excited about this. They start seeing how easy this thing goes up. We're doing a lot of work and getting prep. I mean, you do 500 segments. I mean, you know, just drilling it. We got a station just doing zzz, zzz. I'm on my second drill press. Of course, it's Harbor Freight and it only cost $100. But, you know, it's, you know, the other one lasted. I can't believe how long it lasted. Anyway, we upgraded a little bit better one because I had 20% coupon off. Oh, yeah, that's another thing. You know, buy American. You know, you buy quality. I'm definitely hip to that if you're going into whatever. But, you know, I'm a free market kind of guy. You know, Chinese going to be making me some really good, cheap whatever. You know, I don't feel, you know, anything other than thank you because, you know, I could buy three or four of these and have backups for the rest of my life for the price of one that was overpriced because it's made here in America and the taxing that if I got and health care of and stuff and pay for it. You know, it's expensive, not because it's made in America, but because it's made in America. You know what I mean? It's all the crap they dump. Oh, man. So when we go into mass production of this, we're going to be focusing much more on quality, I'm sure. And what we're going to find out, it's made in Korea. You know, I'm just so, it's a whole attitude. You know, this get rid of this nationalism. Start thinking, that's one thing Gerald Celente really made a big deal out of. He's going, look, man, it's going to be quality. It's going to be buy local. It's going to be, you know, a lot of this stuff. Now, I'll give you an idea to share with you. You know, one of the stories on Freedom's Phoenix today. I mean, we could go on Freedom's, you know, look at this. This is why I don't want to talk about this stuff, you know. Here we have, you know, today's show. We got what's all the, you know, I got the United Nations telling me I should eat insects. You know, if I would just, you know, my protein thing now, our solution is insects, you know, by Nabisco or something. Whatever. We got the what's going on in the European Union with the euro and the Germans still taking over the planet. We got, you know, they give you all kinds of stuff. Three-man crew returned safely to Earth from the International Space Station. Associated Press, it's Fox News, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. They tell you a freaking word about the private space race and all the exciting things that are going on there. Hell no. All right. You know, here we have a story. What is a fuel cell? And what is the carbon nanotube revolution? You should go read that. That'll give you an interest in the future of what's coming. Photonic quantum computers, a brighter future than ever. This is going to be a giant leap forward in the processing speed of computers. I tell you what it is. It's data from Star Trek Next Generation, a positronic brain. That's what's going on. You know, photons, they don't have the heat, you know, and a lot of the limitations of electrons. And if you can use light or you have quantum computers that, you know, the quantum state of different particles that be able to have different particles in more than one place at one time, and yes, no, and maybe, and gives you enormous opportunities to have much more parallel processing, blah, 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 you know, more. Here it comes. Space tourism won't hurt environment. They do get a little bit of coverage on the internet, you know, about space tourism and Richard Branson doing Virgin Galactic and having people, private individuals, go into space. And what's the storyline? The environmental impact of doing it. I mean, wow, man. Seriously? And here we have the aquaponics, you know, in the desert doing that. We have Ray McGovern, you know, sent me an article last night, you know, saying, you know, hey, man, you know, this Guantanamo thing's kind of ramping up, you know, the guys on food strikes and so on. Glenn Greenwald going up against the bad guys, you know, on the war thing. I mean, it just goes on. Oh, police steal $160,000 from a man during a traffic stop. Oh, here's one. You know, all right, I'll give you one. John Kerry, now Secretary of State and former presidential candidate and senator and all this other stuff. John Kerry's brother, Cameron, is named acting commerce secretary. So you got the head of commerce, John Kerry's brother. Okay. Detroit emergency manager says city clearly insolvent. Now, Detroit is going, we're giving a presentation Wednesday, an economic discussion group, me and a couple of friends, this monthly meeting. We're doing, in an anarcho world, how do you do security, defense? Yeah, but what about the police and what about military? And we're, all right, fine, let's talk about it. I just got an email last night from a talk show host here that's syndicated around the country, wanted to talk about that very thing, because I go, when it rains, it pours. We're going to be giving a presentation Wednesday on this very thing. I may be doing as a guest on his radio show Wednesday afternoon, because he wants to talk about the privatization of police forces in some neighborhoods in Detroit. People are just taking care of it themselves, just hire private security for their neighborhood or whatever. And he's going, oh, well, there, you know, let's talk about it. I'm like, you know, this stuff is coming, like, not later. Saudi man traveling with pressure cooker arrested because he had a pressure cooker. See, it just goes, and then the economy this, and Peter Schiff says that. Henry Kissinger receives award defending freedom and democracy. New York State's pension fund reaches record $160 billion, you know, and they're getting a 10% return based on blah, 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 and it's going to go down. And on and on and on and on. You want to know all the bad news, go to Freedom's Phoenix, go to the news anywhere, get kind of the stuff, and we got it covered. But I don't like talking about it because I don't care. I just freaking don't care. Now, what? What are we going? What, are they bad? You're going to tell me that, what, government really, 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 really bad? I get it. But what's one of the stories we have up there? Garden Rebels, 10 ways to sow revolution in your backyard. Instead of bullets, there will be seeds. Instead of chemical warfare, there will be rainwater carefully collected from the gutters of the house. Instead of soldiers in body armor and helmets, there will be backyard rebels with bare feet, cut-off jean shorts, and wide-brimmed hats. Instead of death, there will be life, sustained by a harvest of homegrown produce. Children will be witness to these battles, but instead of being traumatized, they will be happy, grimy, and healthy as they learn about the miracles that take place in a little plot of land or a pot of dirt. This is the revolution. What, you thought I was wasting my time jerking around, just having fun, wanting to be, you know, a hippie or something? Ooh, bad guys haven't seen a revolution like the one we're bringing. Here we go.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Welcome to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona. In the third hour, we have Mr. Butler Schaefer, professor. He, you know, there's such a long history with Professor Schaefer, and you probably recognize him a lot, if, you know, not from his books, from his writing on LouRockwell.com and in the Freedom's Phoenix e-zine. He's raised children that have become activists and authors and stuff themselves. There is, you know, Jane, his wife, is also very active, and she's spoken at Freedom Summits too, as has Butler Schaefer on several occasions. Now, I want to get right to Professor Schaefer, because I tell you what I want to talk about. history. This is, you know, history of this kind of resistance, of revolutions, of things that are coming up. We're having, can you feel it? Well, this isn't the first time that people have felt it. Revolutions, you know, the casting off of regimes and juntas and governments, has happened many times before. Why? And how did we get, revolve, this revolution keeps coming around. How do we keep bringing government with us into the next generation? We're going to space. Are we going to take government with us? You know, is it inevitable? At what point do we recognize it starts to turn bad? Is it in us? Is it how we look at how do we have the right to rule over others? I mean, this is, and dealing with the young people that are becoming lawyers. That's what he does. He's training constitutional lawyers. Well, yeah. At least they know how to spell it. So I'm going, Butler, you know, help me out here. I want to, use your mind and your experience to see if we're seeing the same thing that we can recognize as what's happened before, and we can look forward to the same chronology of what's coming. Or is something different this time? Is it coming? What's your view?
Well, it's kind of interesting that this would all come up this morning when CNN is telling us about a really major news story that's going on. That is that the New Jersey Governor Christie is taking Prince Harry on a guided tour of the storm damage back in New Jersey, live and in full color. You know, now we're going to get to the bottom of all this stuff. Hey, what's going on?
So Prince Henry's going to what? Loan us money or something? I mean,
I don't know. I wonder how CNN would deal with these things. You know, if the world came to an end, would that interfere with their reporting on Dancing with the Stars program? I don't know. Anyway, back to your intelligent question, as opposed to what we're seeing on TV. Yeah, we do get very often just a recycling of the same kinds of concerns. At the same time, I think these questions that get raised and the changes that occur do take on, you know, a life of their own, in the sense that we end up kind of moving in many respects in a more civilized direction. I think there's an undercurrent of civility, if you will, that is driving a lot of this opposition to what governments are doing.
You know, but that's not in the government's best interest.
Absolutely not.
They don't emphasize that. They don't even want that.
Yeah, that's right. They appeal to it by making reference to a lot of glittering generalities and abstractions and so forth, and I think people are going to mistake for the reality of what they're in fact doing. But oh yeah, they have to play the game. The government has to play the game. George Orwell did a wonderful job treating that, you know, the inconsistency of the words with the reality, the contradiction. You know, war is peace and love is hate and freedom is slavery and ignorance is strength and all animals are equal, but of course some are more equal than others, and people buy into this foolishness. And it seems to me that the people who buy into it more are the ones who are more formally educated.
Indoctrinated.
Yeah, I ran across a wonderful quote of Bertrand Russell. Someone sent it to me the other day. It said, "Men are born ignorant, not stupid. They are made stupid by education."
Amen. Schoolsucks.com. I wanted to tell the audience, we had a representative of this next generation next, Cody Wilson, scheduled for the first. I did just talk to him. He overslept, so we didn't. We were going to have him the first. We had him scheduled for next week, but he was going to come on, you know. And he got sorry. So you know, stuff happens. We'll have him next week. But this whole thing around. And I just wanted to check on, make sure he was okay, because at any minute they could arrest any of these guys that, you know, challenge the authority of the man. And what do you think of this effort by the Pentagon, them coming out and saying, hey, man, You can't have this piece of crap plastic gun file being sent out there because people might, you know, whatever. And they called it the Liberator. And do you remember the story of the Liberators in World War II, what they were trying to do and equate this?
Well, there was the old B-24 bomber was known as the Liberator. But, you know, it's the thing I find interesting in terms of the reaction of the statists to this Liberator gun, and I don't know if it works at all, how well it works, what the system is, and I'm not all that enthused about finding out. But to the extent that it is, you can pass all the legislation you want if people can start emailing three-dimensional things around, because it applies not just to guns in a case like this; it applies to everything.
Thank you.
You know, if I've got a really wonderful art object, let's say, or whatever it may be, and I'd like to have you have a copy of it too, you don't need to go to an antique store or whatever. Just, you know, put it on the internet, and you have the right ingredients at home, and zippo whammo, pretty soon you've got one yourself.
Buggy whips. This is, you know, the Liberator I was talking about is reference to this stamped out single shot gun they dropped behind enemy lines in occupied France to, you know, go at. And I think that's what he was naming it for.
Oh, okay.
And it was, you know, so it's just, is it an effective weapon? Maybe for getting a better weapon, but, you know, it was like a psyop. It had the same effect on the Nazis back then that's having on the administration, the U.S. government now. They're like, no, you're not allowed to have this kind. You know, I'm going, it just kind of shows them for the weaknesses that they have and how weak they are. And I'm
and it also plays on the ignorance of the people running the system, the establishment. You know, they are so ignorant of the capacities, say, of the internet. And it's not just the internet, it's just technology generally. The internet is probably the most visible example of that. They don't know what they're up against. And when you don't know what you're up against, how do you react? How do you respond to something like that?
You know, and that's what I want to talk to with Butler today. We're just going to chill and have a conversation, because what are we up against? You know, what is it? I mean, if you understand what you're up against, it can help dictate what you do about it. A lot of people, they're doing a lot of the wrong stuff. You know, I want to talk to Butler also about Adam Kokesh's plan to, you know, walk into the hands of the man over the bridge with a loaded rifle into D.C. We'll see what he has to say about that.
Arizona has been one of the hottest real estate markets in the past, up until the last couple of years. Homes that were once going for $500,000 to $1 million in prestigious areas are now going for less than half of what the original purchase price was. That makes it a very good time to buy. So if you were ever thinking of retiring to Arizona's inviting climate and laid-back and friendly lifestyle, now is the time. That's where I can help. This is Donna Hancock with Brangus Realty, and I have provided a way for you to search for properties that are of interest to you, all at your own convenience and without having to give out any personal information. Visit my webpage at DonnaHancock.com to start your search today. And when you're ready to make a move to Arizona's warm and sunny climate, please feel free to call or text me at 602-828-1819. Many are working hard to make sure Arizona is not only a beautiful place to live, but a free and peaceful one as well. So what are you waiting for? Make your move today by calling 602-828-1819. And don't forget to visit my webpage at DonnaHancock.com.
If you enjoy LRN.FM, please contribute to your favorite shows via their websites and become an amplifier at amp.lrn.fm. That's amp.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
As you brush your shoes, you stand before your mirror, and you comb your hair, grab your coat and hat.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. I'm Ernest Hancock, Butler Schaefer. Oh, Butler, let's go ahead and talk about you know, oh, what's coming? I mean, how best to prepare? When you're talking to Generation X, your children, you have grandchildren now, and it is just, I am so amazed at how fast things change. One day, you're laughed at. The next day, you're a freaking hero. One day, nobody's paying attention. And the next day, everybody's a freaking expert. You know, there's something happening now. What is it?
Well, that is interesting. I think it has something to do with, oh, I don't know, what, for lack of a better term, just be considered a life force within the whole life system, not just humans, but other forms of life. That life requires certain conditions. It requires a sense of spontaneity, of adaptability, of diversity, of, you know, a lot of things that not only facilitate change but encourage it and help it along. And institutions generally, and particularly the state, are in the business of cutting all that off, because institutions, by their nature, want to keep things as they are. You know, it's if a particular organization, or an institution, as I'd call it, has become successful at doing something in the past, you know, they want to keep the wheels going, not recognizing that the wheels are now going in a different direction, and they want to keep them going in the same direction that they have been. And, you know, eventually, you know, the life forces have to resist that. They always have. I mean, this is why, the idea of shipment, bringing in illegal goods from other countries and so forth, has always been a form of action. It's like if the government cuts off what the economy has been producing in favor of what people want, and stabilizing it for the sake of business organizations, people will go where they can satisfy those needs. You had a commercial on a little while ago for the medical marijuana group. It's people who, for whatever reason, and maybe some of it is certainly just the pleasure of smoking marijuana, but there's also the need that many people have for this for health purposes. And the state comes in and says, no, we're going to stabilize this, or at least stabilize it until such time as the pharmaceutical industry can figure out a way of creating,
profiting from,
monopolizing marijuana so that it can't be produced in any other way. If that should ever happen, you know, then all of a sudden the government would announce a bold breakthrough in medical treatment and so forth.
You know, this is one thing, Butler. I look at in history, when governments fall is when they lose their legitimacy with the people.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I have known each other for a while, been at least, over a decade and more.
Yeah.
And, you know, late 90s, early 2000s. And I'm just, I remember the first time I met you in person, it was of 99, 2000. It was you and Vin Cernowitz having a discussion at one of Mark's events he had for his law firm. He had a luncheon thing. Yeah. And the point that you were making is like, you know, humanity is trending towards more freedom. I mean, you got your starts and stops and ups and downs, but it's going that way. It's ramping. It's going up.
Because that's the way life moves.
Well, Vin was making the argument, yeah, but you can't convince the guys in the Warsaw Ghetto that. They didn't feel, there's a lot of places, you know, in Detroit, they're not feeling like it's trending up that much. But, you know, but in general, you know, certainly your perspective, and I think it's been proven out that, yeah, we are going that way, but there is a force that we're going up against.
Yeah, in the short run, all of this becomes very, very ugly. You know, you've got presidents now who say they can declare war against whoever they want to declare war against. They can kill you if they don't like you. They've got these drone bombers flying around killing people and killing innocent people over in Afghanistan and Pakistan and places like that, and who knows how long before they'll be doing that here. This is desperation. This is not the kind of support that the state had. Well, even back during the Eisenhower years, which was, you know, we think of the back in the 50s as being a pretty even keel administration. They were doing all kinds of terrible things, don't get me wrong, but nowhere near this. You know, if Eisenhower had come on television and said, you know, I have the power to, you know, go out and kill whoever I want to have killed, he'd have been driven from office.
See, I don't think people are that upset about them saying this because they don't give that much credibility to the government. It's not because they support it. It's just they ignore it. They don't care. They're like, yeah, okay, they're bad.
That may be part of it. And also, at that point, until the drone is right over your house, that's just an idea. It's an abstraction.
You know, I am of the opinion we get, you know, Donna got, here, let me pause this. I want to read this. It has a picture of you giving a presentation somewhere, and behind you they have a quote. And I'm going to read this, and this is the point. This is everything, what Butler said, okay? Here it is. When we recall that the Soviet Union had a constitution modeled after the United States Constitution, it should be evident that liberty can never be guarded by the scribbling of words on parchment. Those who have copies of the Constitution around as symbols of their liberty remind me of dogs who have learned to carry their leashes in their mouths.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is perfect. You know, we have this young man that wanted to design some T-shirts for us and have us promote them, and he'd do fulfillment, and he's just all adamant about, I send him all kinds of artwork and go, man, be creative, peace out. You know, let me know how it works out. Well, he keeps coming back with designs that are like Freedom's Phoenix and the Bill of Rights or the Constitution this, and I'm going, God, man, you don't get it. You know, whatever, you can do whatever your thing, but what I'm going to promote on my site wouldn't have anything to do. It's like dogs walking around with leashes in their mouth.
Exactly. And, you know, when you read that, I was reminded of the thoughts of the current writer who now lives in England, Anthony DeJasse, who said, you know, there is no, and I'm paraphrasing it, he said, there's no way to prevent any sizable number of people from doing whatever they want to do.
Nothing. You know, when we come back, we'll expand on that. You know, I see what's coming. I'm just wondering if it's going to be peaceful or not. But it's coming regardless, and we're getting ready for it. We'll talk about that too, what Butler's thoughts are. We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Mr. Butler Schaefer, professor, law professor, you know, teaching all them lawyers how to, you know, use and abuse, or not get used and abused. You know, the one thing that I wanted to, there's so many photographs Donna put up here. Yeah, we have some of them. I forgot that you had come in studio when we first moved here. We didn't even have the soundproofing up and stuff in the studio here. I mean, you and Mark came in and we had a good time. But, you know, the one thing that I wanted to, the article that I just read from before, you know, the children are going to learn from, you know, firsthand experience. Reminds me Benjamin Martin in The Patriot with Mel Gibson. He goes, our children are going to learn of this with their own eyes. It will be amongst us. It's not going to be in some far-off land thing. You know, what the change is going to be here. And it said, and the following paragraph, she goes, every day, the United Nations and the powers that be take steps towards food totalitarianism. They do so by flying a standard of sustainability. But what they are actually trying to sustain is not our natural resources, but their control. How far off is she, Butler?
Well, she's absolutely right. I mean, that's you take a look at all these major issues that the political establishment has been pushing, from, you know, global warming to you know, health care and all that sort of stuff, all of it comes down to extending more political control over people's lives and taking away their liberty to conduct their own lives. I think that the thing that's rather interesting is, in terms of the response to things like this, so much of it has, you know, in terms of how ordinary people, people who are desirous of promoting their liberty, have also been very peaceful. And I think this is the thing that really needs to be focused on. Because I think sometimes people get very, sort of a sense of desperation, and they have to react and say, there's nothing left, we just got to go off and start shooting people or something like that. No, that's the political game. And I think what we're up against is the, if you want to call it a life force, I call it that. I don't mean it in any you know, particular religious sense of the word, but just that the conditions that are necessary for life to sustain itself involve peace. They don't involve violence. And what we have is the coming confrontation between people learning how to live peacefully with one another versus the state, which by its very definition is characterized by violence. So are we going to live peacefully or are we going to live violently? Years ago, I was playing around with an etymological dictionary, and those are fun to do sometimes. You pick one up and just look up words and see where they came from. And I discovered that the words peace, freedom, love, and friend all have an interconnected etymological history. And you stop and think about that. You know, what is it that our ancestors knew about how the conditions of peace, freedom, love, and friendship tied together in some consistent way? And I think this is where the you know, call it a confrontation, this is where the issue is going to be played out. Are we going to live peacefully with one another, which necessarily implies liberty, it implies private ownership of property, it implies voluntary behavior and so forth. Are we going to live peacefully with one another, or are we going to succumb to the violent, death-oriented system of the state?
Well, if we have the death-oriented system of the state that's being, you know, highlighted by some rebel doing battle with and so on, that person's probably propped up or agent provocateured by the state to begin with. They need the other side to be violent.
Yeah, exactly.
They want it. They have to have it. See, when we first started, you know, you and I had talked a couple of months ago when I first made the decision that we're going to do this love your neighbor thing. And that we're going to go ahead and, you know, we've been working all this last weekend on the domes. We built three domes, and we're going to be finishing it up today and start assembling tomorrow and probably have it done by Thursday. Then we have aquaponic companies, two of them, coming in and setting it all and doing their goody. We have a power station and water pump purification, whatever working thing we're going to highlight. We have a biodiesel generator using the same algae that feeds the tilapia fish in the aquaponic thing. We're going to make our own diesel fuel. We're going to have the chickens and the fish and the, you know, and we're going to put it all on the side of the yard, right outside the studio here, if you remember the side yard over there, the deck is. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go ahead and build this and demonstrate, look, we can take care of ourselves. I know it works. I've seen, you know, I just need to know how much. I want to track. How many calories can you produce a day? How many people can you feed? How much space do you need? This is the revolution. And you and I talked about this a couple of months ago, that this is the direction I was going to take in my activism. And you've known me a long time, you know, since we were youngins. And you're like, you know, there has been a path that I and Donna and our friends and the activists here have been on to just advocate for the love and the peace and all that. You know, why is that? I see that a lot. You know, when you look for it, you can find it. But it's not what's emphasized. You'll never see that in the lamestream media so last century, you know, the lamestream media, because they need to emphasize the people that are out to get them.
Yeah.
I want to know, is that always been that case? Or you remember in the 60s and, you know, 50s and 60s when you were active and doing the Freedom College and, you know, Rampart and all this other stuff, and you're being a professor and the different generations of attorneys and young people coming in. What have you noticed? What's been the most effective? What has been squished the most? What's been your experience?
Well, I think you've touched on it already, and that's this notion of the use of fear. You know, there's nothing that works so well to control other people as terrifying them. You know, the creating a boogeyman, one boogeyman after another. When I was growing up, it was during World War II, it was the Axis powers. It wasn't even delineated as Nazi Germany and Imperial Japan or anything like that. It was these Axis powers. They're going to take over the world. The sad part of it though is that neither one of them had the military capacity to do that, but that's another story. And after that is over with, you know, that during the war, you know, Germany and Japan were our hated enemies, and Russia and China were our dearest friends. And as soon as that war is over, the roles change. Oops. Now Russia and China are our enemies, and Germany and Japan are our friends.
We've always been at war with Eurasia.
How the hell did that happen? Yeah.
Well, you know, it's amazing. I remember at the end of 1984, they're like, "Well, do you really think that they're?" And he goes, "I don't think we really are at war," or even, you know, whatever. I can't remember. They were going. They started to realize it's all just newspeak, doublespeak.
Oceania has always been at war with Eurasia, right?
Yeah, it just flips, and we got to get us off the hamster wheel, and I'm trying to, the only way you can be independent is not be dependent, and that's what I'm trying to demonstrate.
That's right.
But I'm just thinking that I could not have been the first one doing this. I mean, a lot of people were doing, I just speaking to a gentleman yesterday, it was over helping, and he's like, you know, until he started, got married and having kids, you know, for a decade, he was living in a bus following rainbow gatherings. I mean, you know, he's out in the woods, he goes, yeah, this isn't hard to stay. I did it for years, you know, mm-hmm. But they don't want you to do that. And I think there's an effort to get the people off the land. They're starting to close, certainly here in the Southwest, all of the roads that access public lands. Mm-hmm. You are not allowed to live off the land. You're not allowed to camp here. You're not allowed. Yeah, you can camp for 2 weeks, but you can't 2 weeks and move here for 2 weeks and move here. We know what you're doing. You're really living. You're not on the grid somewhere. You got to go be over there.
Yeah.
And this is an effort. There's something, we're getting ready to have this bad sci-fi B-movie, you know, real love zombie apocalypse. They're coming, it's coming. You know, and how does it manifest itself? What's been the history of this? Maybe Butler will be able to help us out with some other examples, even in American history where this has happened. And what was the result?
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. Butler Schaefer on. You know, one thing I want to get right to in this last segment is that, you know, it's always good to talk to Butler about such things and sit around and having cocktails and chilling with his beautiful wife, Jane. Don and I enjoy spending time with him. And it's just, you got such a window into where we're going because you have to have, you know, a connection to the past. You can see where this is happening. And the Southwest here are even though the government's the guys in charge of shiny badges and they're just as communist as everybody else. I mean, seriously, Janet Napolitano was our governor. I mean, come on. You think we don't get it? But the people, the culture is different. Why, Butler?
Well, that's an interesting question. It probably means that there's some degree of separation based upon the necessity of what you need just to live among people, and that the state system becomes more of just an icon, doesn't it? It's just some of the symbol of something. It's something we have. Well, okay, yeah, it's like the Diamondbacks and so forth, but I'm not going to live my whole life worshiping that. You know, I've got to go out and feed the kids and take care of the car because it won't start and so forth. But I get this question from so many people. And in fact, I had it yesterday from one of my colleagues. You know, well, you know, if you're, according to your way of thinking, how would this problem or that problem be taken care of? And my response has always been, I don't know. I really don't know. I think how 7 billion people are going to deal with all kinds of issues, roads or schooling or whatever, is
irrelevant.
Can't predict. Well, you can't predict it. You know, life is very, by its nature, is very independent. It's very individualistic. You and I have a DNA that is different, presumably, from every other person on the planet. We are, those of us who are living, are all that remains of mankind. We really are. Once we go, and I don't mean you and I just personally, but once the present group of living people are gone, that's the end of humanity. And people start to become aware of that, that the reality is not in this e pluribus unum nonsense, which is you know, just another form of the collective that the socialists have been promoting for centuries. But when you turn loose, the really allow the creative process just to work, you get all kinds of different approaches to things. You had experiments in this country with pluralism, where some group might go out and say, "Well, let's try living in a commune where we don't have private property, and we'll just all live communistically," and so forth. And they go off and do that, and it lasts about one, maybe two generations, and they die off. You know, there's not the, you know, the idea of collective living is so contrary to the necessities of life. I mean, collective, I'm not talking about cooperative. I mean, this is how markets work, is on a cooperative basis, but collective in the sense of I identify myself with some abstraction, call it the state, call it the Dukobor commune, whatever it may be. I identify myself with that. I subordinate myself to that. Whatever I have, I give to that collective.
We keep hearing about the Wild West, you know, and people came. I mean, what kind of structure did they have when there wasn't a structure? In all the movies, it's all, we're going to go ride and get the marshal in a couple of weeks. I mean,
at high noon. You got to do it right at high noon. And here come John Wayne and Randolph Scott and all these other people, and they're going to go out and gun down all these evil forces in the world. There was an interesting book written, oh God, who are the authors of it? It's called the Not So Wild Wild West. If people want to look that up on the on Google. The Not So Wild Wild West. It was really very peaceful. And sometimes, you know, the idea that people would carry guns, maybe that's what made it peaceful or helped to make it peaceful. You know, it's like John Lott's work on more guns, less crime. If people were really desirous of reducing crime, you would encourage the idea of everyone being armed.
Well, but that's not their goal.
Of course not. Well, no, it's once you become disarmed, you're what? You don't notice the state? The state doesn't want to get
your
rid of
livestock. the frontier freedoms, you know what's your perspective on that? You know, people go west, young man.
Frederick Jackson Turner had a very wonderful book on that. It came out in the, I think, in the 19th century, early 20th century. The role that the frontier played in promoting individual liberty. And you can take it, not just the frontier in this country, but you can take it from Europe, you know, that the extent to which people move from Eastern Europe over into Western Europe and into different enclaves of that hadn't been that thoroughly developed. And then when they got tired of that, they moved to this so-called New World and come over to North America, and you start living according to the ways in which those who are living there want them to live, not the ways in which the king or someone else back home did. I reminded of the history of William Penn dealing with his Quaker settlement and the respect they showed to the American Indians. And they bought up the claims of Indians. They didn't just go in and massacre them with John Wayne and his crowd. But if you didn't like what was going on in New York or Massachusetts, so you pack up and move west to Ohio. And when Ohio starts getting too structured, you move west to Iowa and Nebraska and places like that. And the process just continued.
Well, now we're going, you know, to space and government's not invited, or are we bringing it along in our heads?
You know, I think the real frontier that I find most challenging, and I think it's the most encouraging one, is the frontier of the mind. And we're seeing that being facilitated through things like the Internet. This is the real frontier, where people, you know, right now, for the first time in history, with 7 billion people on the planet, Ernest Hancock is in a position to where he can communicate directly with 7 billion people. Not just doing something in a broadcasting way. I'm talking about a dialogue, not a monologue, a dialogue. All 7 billion people provided two things. One, that these 7 billion people all have computers that are hooked up to the Internet. And two, that these 7 billion people want to communicate with you. We have that capacity for the first time, and people are using it.
You know, I witnessed it. I felt this feeling when my kids were really young. It was the movie Wayne's World. And I'm going, broadcasting from their parents' basement in, you know, blah, 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 to the planet, yada, yada. I'm going, Wayne's World, I can see where anyone gets to have a voice. When that comes and the Internet started, we started to understand that and developing, you know, what would become Freedom's Phoenix later. I understood the power of the most popular, the most supported, the most free, the most peaceful, the most loving message.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what the bad guys do. It's always the fear, it's the force, and it's we're in control and we have the ring of power.
It's the boogeyman. You know, you had an older brother or sister or someone like that when you were a little kid and who liked to terrify you with the boogeyman. Now, the boogeyman's going to come get you. And it's just that we've elaborated on that. There's a wonderful book that came out in the early 70s, as I recall, late 60s, early 70s, called A Report from Iron Mountain, which purported to be the results of a government study. And I think everyone now recognizes it was a piece of fiction, but so was 1984, and so was Atlas Shrugged, and so forth. But it's this idea you have to keep generating fear, because there's nothing that causes people to huddle together more than fear. It's something we learned as children, you know, huddling at the feet of our parents, right? Especially Big Daddy.
No more fear.
Care of us.
No more fear. I say, you know, no. We're going to just learn from people like Professor Butler Schaefer. Google him. Butler Schaefer. I endorse everything he's ever written. Hey, thanks for coming on, Butler. I appreciate it. Hold on a second. I want to talk to you.
Okay.
You know, we'll keep you guys informed on all the stuff that we're doing because, you know, we're don't ever think that we stop fighting the man, the battle, you know, the prison in your mind. That's why we're doing all this.